Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Actually, a beautiful day, and happy Valentine's to all of you good people out there, every single one of you. Even if you're not in love, you were once in love, and I'm sure falling in and out of love can become a routine thing. It's the ups and downs. But today, everybody's passing around chocolate candy, roses and all of that, but don't build it around one day now. Be good all the time. So that's what's happening. But this morning I got Rod Tam in the studio with me this morning, and we're going to be talking about a variety of things, and might even find out what's his status, his interest in, is he going to become a part of a election team? Is he going to run again? We'll find out, at least get close to that, then see what we have. I'm getting a little distortion, but we'll manage. But good morning, Rod. How are you?
Hi, good morning, Carol. Thank you very much for having me here. I want to say also happy Valentine's Day to all those beautiful women out there, and especially to my wife, Lynette. And,
mm-hmm.
Sorry I had to leave the house early to be on the show, but we'll make up the rest of the day.
Yeah. Well, every day, I'm sure, is a Valentine for you. She calls you sweetie, huh?
No, she calls me Rod. A first name basis is fine. And, you know, everybody calls me Rod, so it gets to be in habit, right?
That's why women call you sweetie. Sweetie pie. They know one day it is coming. They don't want to be forgotten. But, yeah, so what have you been doing?
Well, I've been caring for my father. He's 87 years old, and he's a capable person. Usually I take him every morning to exercise at Fort Shafter. I'm his guest. He's a retired Army Reserve sergeant, first-class sergeant.
Mm-hmm.
He goes on a treadmill, and I do other type of exercises there. And it's a matter of companionship. Then also, too, I have my own business. I have the business consulting. I do marketing plans, business plans, mm-hmm. Legal research, and especially do to the Bureau of Conveyance. And I also do international relationships with Asian countries, China, Taiwan, and so forth, and something that I've learned in terms of how to do over a number of years of
mm-hmm.
experience. And,
mm-hmm. yeah. So you've been quite busy, been paying attention to the political field and all of the what's going on, and with the rail and the monies and the new taxes and the increases in the GTE?
Yes, I have. In this world of ours in Hawaii, it's a mixed can of worms, basically, and we're not being operated economically to the benefit of our consumers, our people of Hawaii.
We're not efficient.
No, not at all. It's very sad, and people have asked me to run again.
Yeah? Are you?
Oh, I'm looking at it very seriously.
Uh-huh.
I'm frustrated. I love my community, which encompasses Liliha, Nuanu, Punui,
Chinatown,
downtown, Chinatown,
uh-huh.
Parts of Kakaku, Pa'o, uh-huh. where I live.
Uh-huh.
Right?
So I'm sure you've been watching all the quote ethics activities in the both state and city, and you had your bouts with them, but I can't help but think how we so loosely assign the title to and call it ethics, Department of Ethics, or Division of Ethics. Very little ethics in this game. And with the two, the guy Chuck Tato and his antics, and the other gentleman there, I'll think of his name in a minute, for the state. They're running basically hitmen.
Yes, and you know, I've learned to experience the hard way that our so-called commissions of ethics in the state and the city is not run very well.
Uh-huh.
They don't have ethics themselves.
Right.
And we talk about ethics, and you know, they treat themselves as courts
uh-huh.
of judgment, and some attorneys will call that quasi-judicial uh-huh. courts.
Well,
and many attorneys do not like them because they don't follow the rules of the court
uh-huh.
or acceptance of evidence at all. It's a matter of discretionary to them.
Right. Well, you know, I couldn't help but think about you on many occasions where we did a lot of work on the Board of Water Supply, and we saw that some serious improprieties and what appeared to be criminal activities, and we know criminal activities when we see it, but millions and millions of dollars, many flawed behavior that drove up the prices of water. We saw that water bills were being estimated and not being recorded by the computer, not being reported. They were estimated bills, and on we saw that internally a contractor or an employee converts himself to contractor and then gets a contract after a year and one day. And these were substantial. Chuck Tato took upon himself to threaten the people that had provided me with information and basically sought them out, interviewed them, and left them with the impression that they had done something wrong. And he basically covered it up.
Yes.
Covered it up
quite well.
And I watch and I see what he's so aggressive of on the chief of police and a few other people. It's like this guy, there's no ethics, and I don't care who's listening or whatever. You might think he's a nice guy, but when we hold a candle up to him, there's nothing. It's like the egg, checking the egg to see if it's viable. There's nothing viable in the city ethics or the state ethics commission. The state ethics, I file a complaint with them on the DLNR, and he basically brushes it off and then tells me he doesn't like my agenda.
Well, he did the same thing in helping Charles DeJue, the former city councilman.
Right.
When Charles DeJue misused his funds, his city funds, to go to meetings lunchtime with fellow attorneys,
mm-hmm.
and he's in the same field. Now, he didn't have to go, but mm-hmm. he went there
mm-hmm.
as an attorney,
and
he used city funds to pay for his meals.
And he went to Japan and took his son, or one of his children, and we uncovered that and reported it, and Chuck Tato made excuses for him.
Right, well...
And, you know,
Charles DeJue was a good friend of Chuck Tato. Whatever he wanted in terms of legislation, he wanted the power.
Right.
So Charles DeJue introduced it for him.
Mm-hmm. Well, hold on, let's see here. Here's somebody. Caller, good morning. You got a question or comment?
Yes, I do. I want to give you kudos for the investigation that you started up with the DNLR about the accident that took the life in the bay over there
mm-hmm.
about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you were right. Somebody's going to try to bring up a murder complaint against him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I hope it comes somewhere and the truth comes out because, you know, life is the most precious thing that we have.
Right.
To have, you know, and
but,
to have one taken away because this guy, like it, what I get to hear, he's been a troublemaker in the bay for a while. And he should have been, you know, corrected a long time ago, taken the license away or whatever. It would have took them, you know, make that guy come under some kind of, you know, order, you know,
mm-hmm.
because he just run around and do whatever he wants in the day,
mm-hmm.
which is way out of line. And Mr. Tan, right?
Yes.
Rod Tan.
Rod
Tan.
Okay, Rod, I hope you run, because I think you're an ethical man, and, you know, I think your track record proves that. And if you do run, I'll be out there holding a sign for you, okay?
Well, thank you very much. Be free to call me. My cell number is 216-5454, and let's talk story.
That's easy. 5454.
216-5454.
Yeah, okay. Easy number.
Yeah. Right. Well, Rod, what he's talking, the caller's talking about is the incident out in Kailua Bay where the gentleman was, he and his stepson was run over by a boat, and that boat was owned by Cy Hansen. And Cy is affiliated with the same group that Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard and her father and mother is associated with. Quite close.
So he's got a connection then.
Well, you know, just laying it out there because for some reason, some of the media just, well, all of it, it took a long while for them to actually just name the driver. And, I mean, it was reported. They reported a portion of what was reported to them by the fire and police department.
That's the whole fact, yeah.
But, you know.
Because if something like that happens, you knew the name would come right out. You know what I mean?
Because
it was an accident. You know what I mean? And it was a death. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if it was chemo, Ke'aha, we'd know how long of a rap sheet he had, and when he was 1 year old, he jumped out of the bed, you know, and took a stick and beat his dog, you know, 30 years ago. But when it came to these people, everybody shied away from actually, and we felt that we needed to put it out there. And also, Rod, the situation was DLNR was absolutely, they're unskilled at these investigations. And our chairman, the chairwoman, never spoke out. A man died now.
Wow.
This is, you know, so she'll, if we say that the O'Hare trees are dying, she might have a comment. Let her learn that somebody died under her purview, under her management, her activities. She has no comment.
Yeah.
It shows that she doesn't value life at all when you think about it.
Yeah. And while we're talking about this, and I was going to actually, and we're going to just jump around, but what happened, now, guys, follow this. We're talking about ethics and good government and all. So, I, in the pursuit of this, trying to, as a caller saying, trying to put this thing together, you know, some say I'm meddling, but I just believe I would want the same thing happen if something happened to me, that some justice be brought or some...
Yeah, somebody speak up, yeah?
Some clarity. I would just hate to think that a person can die and we all go, well, you know the system. So I had the occasion, I filed a request with the city fire department, and they're my heroes. I mean, I've seen the fire department do things that it's amazing how they can stop a fire and there's houses right there. I mean, these guys are on it. But their management sucks, you see. For example, I just experienced something. I filed a request for records, and I wanted the audio tape of that incident, you know, from 12:15 to 12 till the whole time it was the original. So I went online, filed my request, and wanted the report, just the written report, first of all. They said it'll be $2.50. I went down and I paid the $2.50, and I got that report related to that incident, right?
Okay.
So then I think, well, you know, maybe I'll get the, I didn't know it was the same office, so I'll request the fire department's audio tape. And I asked him, and the lady finally got back to me after 3 or 4 days. Hmm. And her name is Shelby Furukawa. So she tells me, well, really, a little bit, I don't know, I won't say animosity because I don't know her, but she was really basically foul and rude. So she tells me, if you want the CD, want it on a CD, it'll be $5. So I said, oh, that's great, because usually people charge you more. And I go, I feel guilty. I made the comment, you know, I feel guilty this, you know, for the time. Yeah, you know, but then she says, well, you better count your blessings now, basically, because the city council is talking about raising it $258 or something like that.
Wow.
Right. So, okay, but that has nothing to do with my request.
Yeah.
So I go ahead and I ask her, well, should I bring a CD? No, it's we'll put it on CD and $5. So I go down there on the Friday and I get this email saying basically they want more than what?
Huh?
She says, Mr. Cox, with your understanding of the cost, would you like us to continue? Wait. Per our telephone conversation and processing your request, you may be charged fees for the service that the agency must perform when processing your public records request. Maybe, okay? Now, they're processing my request, okay?
Right.
They're not saying you can't have it. So including fees, making copies of and other lawful fees. And allowed under H.A.R. 271-19. As such, this is to inform you that it took our on-duty dispatch fire captain a total of 9 hours to search, review, segregate, and record to satisfy your request. His work hours are chargeable and cost as follows.
Wow.
$423.90. Now, this is originally, I'm told, that I could have it for $5 and count my blessings.
$250,
and now it's $400. Well, the $250 is a portion of a written report that they gave me regarding this investigation, right? Now I want the audio. So I want to make sure it's clear. Now, I asked for one, and I paid for one, $2.50, and got 9 pages. They gave me that as part of this investigation. And so I want the recording. So anyway, they say that we waived $60, and the disc will still cost you $5, and you would be paying $368.90.
That's ridiculous.
Now, that's if I want it. And she says, Mr. Cox, with your understanding of the cost, would you like us to continue processing? Let us know, and Chief Lum can prepare your disc, and I'll follow up with invoicing. If we do not receive a reply from you by February 15, 2016, we will safely assume, I don't know, maybe I was going to eat them or something. We will safely assume that an interest no longer exists. This request will be closed. So, first of all, isn't that amazing? You don't hear them saying, I can't have it, right? You don't hear them saying that it's under investigation, right?
Uh-huh.
And they've already given me a portion of the investigative materials regarding this case. So then, Chief Lum, you know, when you got a lot of weight on your shoulder and you know, you've got power, you don't care if you work for the public.
They grab it up on you.
Right. So I write a back and thank Ms. Furukawa. Thank you for your letter regarding my UIPA request. During our telephone conversation on this matter, you advised that the cost for the recording was $5. Based on that quote, I requested the information for a broader time frame. The amount quoted is excessive and compels me to narrow my request to the following time frame on 1/9/16, blah, blah. I am also asking that the fees be waived as allowed by UIPA, as this information will substantially contribute to the Carol Cox Show's efforts to educate the public on the Honolulu's city and county fire department and other government agencies. Your kind consideration is appreciated. Mm. Well, now, you don't ever tell a city worker or government worker you object to them.
Okay.
Oh, my God. That's, you might as well get a mail order piranha. You just cross that line when you think, well, yeah. No, I don't agree with that. And let me remind you, this is what was stated. And, oh, you do that, it's over, man. That's the end of the
conversation. They give you a whole
Can I interject one thing about the DNR?
Yeah.
I heard on the radio was all the laws, they're so old, they're not even being enforced. Did you hear that on the radio and stuff?
Well, that's a ruse. If they were written, if all the laws were sitting by the tablet where Moses inscribed the Ten Commandments, the problem is it's not if they're written or how old they are. You got no damn body to enforce them.
Okay.
They're just drawing paychecks. They don't know what they're doing. We're throwing good money after bad. We don't train them. We don't equip them with anything. And we don't have, if the chairman, a man dies, And the chairman don't speak up. What the heck? You think the little low-ranking officer is going to run out there and take up the banner and go?
Yeah.
Heck no. But anyway, let me finish this. So Mr. Lum writes me, and you know how that is now, that he's the battalion chief now, you see. You, when you get to be the battalion chief, you forget that one day you took an oath and you were going to work for the people. But once you get that weight on you, you can't see beyond that glitter, right? It blinds you,
right.
Your peripheral vision. You don't realize that the people standing next to you are the public who you serve.
Sure.
Right?
And we're paying you.
And we're paying you. You're right. Get on. So he writes me back. I basically said, aloha. He says, Mr. Cox, I regret to inform you the HFD cannot release the recording at this time because the incident is under investigation.
Huh? Anybody give you a written report? Now they're scared. That's what it is.
They jump from one checkerboard to the other.
You open a can of worms.
You see, and to me, I got to tell you, I know when the firemen, they're the first there, my friend. They are there. If there's shots fired, they are there. The phone ring, they are there. They don't back off. They don't get political.
Uh-huh.
But up top, apparently, they think they're political entities, and they think they carry big sticks. And it's a shame. It's a bittersweet experience because there's no need for this. When you've given me the report, I asked the fire department, is this investigation, you continue? They said, no, it's closed. So therefore, based on that, I initiated my first request. They gave me 9 pages at $2.50 on that report, right?
Right.
Then they redacted the names and some sensitive information, which is understood. Then I make a request for the audio, which is done. And by the way, they got a system now. They don't realize that I'm aware. It's a computerized. It does not take the time she claims. You just, all you do is find it and burn it. It's, and you can email it to me. That's how simple it is.
Right.
Because we've spent $1 million or more than that, several million, upgrading their communication system, right?
Right.
So, but it's when they get promoted and higher up, I guess they think that we're ignorant and they're in there. But this guy Gary Lahm, I'm very disappointed, and I won't compare his actions to other firemen because they save our lives. They're there. I mean, they don't stumble and fumble and or anything, right? They're worried about our safety, making sure with their first responses makes a difference in life and death.
Well, that's their job description, and they do it.
Yeah, and so for this guy, I had to beg him now. She said, you can talk to my boss, the chief. No, I don't need to talk to the chief. If the chief has decided that I'm not entitled to this, then please explain why I'm able to get a portion of the investigation and tell me why you were processing it and going to. I could have it if I paid you the $368, but because I object, now all of a sudden it's under investigation.
Yeah.
Now, I'm from Mississippi, and we're pretty damn slow down there.
Something's happening there whereby they don't want to disclose the information.
No, it's that typical arrogant, you know, crappy attitude that they have toward the public. You know, we are we and you are you.
You know, funny you mention that, Carol. I've talked to a lot of retirees from the fire department, and they don't like the fire department now. They said it's not friendly.
Yeah.
It's not they're out to help people, assist them. And they said, I've talked to police officers. They said it's so bad out there, they don't want to be associated and be known as the retired police officer.
Right.
So basically, when you look upon the fire department and the police department, it's a management.
Yeah.
They have problems with public relations.
And that's what I would say in this whole conversation. Don't take away from the rank and file. This situation just stinks because it's a guy who smelling his own piss. And thinking because you would think, wait now, Mr. Cox, and I explained to him, I took the time to explain, look, I'm making this request because your some of the people involved in the fire told me that you were done with your investigation. You were no longer, so that prompted me to make the request. If I'd have thought you were conducting an investigation ongoing, I would not have sent anything in because it would be premature and it would frustrate the process. But in this case, I get a portion, I get the documents I request. Then you go ahead and you tell me a price for the audio. I decide I will pay that. Then you tell me, well, it's going to be more, so I object. And then you put the big dog on me, and then he says, well, you got to pay it. That's the only way we're going to give it to you, right?
And the deeper you go, they just went every way trying to block you.
Yeah. Well, no, I could at this level, I could pay the money, and man, I got my audio, and we happy pigs, right?
Well, they try to hide you. The bottom line is that there's some information they want to hide.
Well, I don't know. I hope not, because I'm going to keep it within the frame of that. This is a guy who felt that when they say no. And in such an antagonistic fashion, as this four caller did, and they believe that they must prop up ineptness and disrespect to the public. I think that's what we find most of the time in these government agencies. We could stamp out a lot of the abuse and disrespect that we have for taxpayers if the next level supervisor were to listen and be rational, right? But instead, hey, I'm Gary Lahm, man. I'll tell you what the hell to do. And I said, well, look, I respect your position. Well, write that down and send me a letter. It doesn't matter what I write to you. You're telling me that you're not going to give it to me. you made this decision. If I may ask, Mr. Lam, could you please provide me a letter advising me what exemptions are you making and what authority you're being exempted from, you know, and give me the section of 92F, and I'll be happy and I'll appeal it or go to court.
Right.
He wouldn't do that. So I have to write him again and ask him. And so, again, this is this flippant way of saying. And I write him and say, I would like to request the status of my UIP request for audio recordings regarding 16-17-38. Thank you. Right? Well, instead of being, you know, cordial and all, he writes back, Mr. Cox, please refer to the attachment. Thank you.
You know, there's a lot of frustration out there by the public in terms of getting public service.
Now, and I want to be clear.
Even the rank and file of government employees are frustrated with management.
Yeah.
Morale is very bad.
What is it, the yin and the yang? I mean, imagine, this is the image of the fire department. There's a brush fire burning down the mountain and coming close to hills, and you see 10, 20 firemen rushing up to the hill to put out this fire and using their jackets until the water line is set up. They're putting themselves in danger. They could fall and break the neck and die, right?
Right.
Or you have this helicopter pilot who's going into small areas in the parks and maneuvering and saving our properties and saving our lives. And then you got this one guy who want to, you know, Gary Lam, who want to tell you where to go. he need to go back to school to understand that if you don't believe you work for the public and you should respect them, at least respect the agency in which you were and don't tarnish that image, because I will forever remember this nonsense. It's so contradictory to everything, you know, common sense, common courtesy, common decency.
Job description. The guy's not doing his job.
But he is the fire chief. Battalion Chief, Honolulu Fire Department, Fire Communications Center.
That's why, like I said, his morale is very low.
Yeah.
In the police department and the fire department, because of poor management.
Mm-hmm.
They're making decisions which are not practical.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And, you know, but again, this is... I had to do the same thing with DLNR. I just had, you know, I'm from Mississippi, mm-hmm. and there's this thing where when whites talk to you in the South, they talk with you as an equal, but they'll always remind you that you have a place in that community, and they'll always remind you that you're going to be put in your place at some part of the conversation or something. Or, you know, I know it's never your equal. And so this guy, Dan Dennison, I had to say to him, you know, every time I write to you or ask a question, you have to admonish me about something as if you're trying to feel like you have to put me in my place.
Yeah.
Enough already. I don't wear a Dixieland hat on my head saying I'm stupid.
You know? You know, I don't blame you, Carol. I experienced that when I was in college years ago. And this was back in, mid-1970s, okay? I went to California State University of Fresno.
Mm-hmm.
And because I used to go body surfing a lot into the beach and swimming, and I'm Chinese, by the way, you know, mm-hmm. blooded Chinese, but they thought I was Chicano.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt discriminated. Man, alive.
But that's not to say Chicano's a bad people.
Also, too, I'm short, right?
Right.
So the characteristics of what they embrace in their mind about... non-whites, basically.
Right.
There's a lot of prejudice in there in the mainland.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Well, we've tried to say to everybody a long time ago, it's not us, it's all of us.
Yeah.
And you know, you're either in the South, man, it's they simplify everything. You know, it's like, well, if you're not white, then you must be black, Mexican, or something, but you know,
other than
you know what happened? When they found out I was from Hawaii, the attitude changed.
Yeah,
but then they think of Hawaii people as servants to them,
right?
And that's bad.
Yeah, because
that's why I could never be directly employed in the tourist industry, because I'll tell them off.
Yeah. You see the count go down and the visitor, and it's so unfortunate, but that's a telling of this as we speak about ethics and all. And so, Gary Lam, I guess, feel that he's bigger than the 92F of the UIPA, and so I will be appealing that. And on this one, I'm likely going to take it to court and just to say you can't be schizophrenic and you can't be dual personalities. Oh, you can have it, Mr. Cox. Here you are. Oh, you can have this too, but you got to pay us $5. But oh, no, it's up $368. Are you going to pay or not? If not, and then, oh, by the way, you don't want to pay, so we're going to declare that it's under investigation. You can't have it anyway.
Well, let me know, Carol. I'll work with you on that. Ever since all these years, I had good experiences, bad experiences. I've learned to appreciate the Constitution of the United States even more.
Mm-hmm.
The due process, people's rights, and civil rights also, too.
Right.
Right? So I've become a stronger person when you think about it because of bad experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with Chuck Todd. Oh, that guy undermines in terms of the democratic process, the constitutional rights.
Mm-hmm.
He sets up his own guidelines in terms of what he thinks is due process and also what is acceptable evidence, right, to his own liking.
Yeah.
But I feel sorry for him. You know why? Because his wife is Associate Chief Justice of the Hawaii Supreme Court, Nakamura. And then she's also the cousin of Danny Noy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, imagine how she got her position in that way.
Yeah, one would say she got it from her expertise.
In the politics, Rod.
Yeah.
The thing is, what you're saying, you got to have money, though, to do a lot of these things that when you try to fight these politicians and stuff. Because you got to get a lawyer, you got to go take time off work and stuff. But the average Joe, when he gets refused and stuff, he's just got to go back and crawl in his hole as far as they're concerned.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And I have a solution here. I read in the paper on re-establishing democracy in Hawaii. And part of it is in terms of having elected judges rather than appointed judges.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay? There you go.
Because
yeah,
it's a people's choice, basically.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
It's like California. In California, the first 2 years, say, or balance of a year of a judge that retired is appointed by the governor.
Uh-huh.
Then after that, they have to be elected. It's a confirmation of their due diligence, basically.
So they're judging you on your performance. That's
right,
good.
Right. And you cannot campaign, too. You cannot raise campaign money.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's a much fairer system. Now, you have a lot of backroom deals going on right now. Attorneys are scared stuff. They're scared. They're really scared because once they know that there's politics behind doors, these attorneys here say, wow, if I become a bad boy, I'm going to have a hard time in my other cases in the future.
Yeah. Here's my observation over the years. If you have a place that leans to corruption anyway, just unethical people and characteristics of that are just unethical,
right,
like here in Hawaii, you need a couple of things in place, though. You could be as unethical as all get up, but it's not going to get you anything. But what you need to do is get inside the system,
right,
a system, like the city and county of Honolulu. And then you can become the madman of Baghdad. And you can do anything you want to do. And here's the killer. And this is, I agree with you, electing judges is one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what we need to revisit this protection that we afford. You see, this corporation council enables Baghdad madman to operate because he can just do anything. He can commit sexual harassment. He can rape you. He can slap you. He can beat you. He can lie to you. He could be a racist. And all that he has to do is get charged by you, or the victim, and then all of a sudden what kicks in the gear is that the city corporation council becomes his attorney or her attorney. That's
they got all the resources.
And when you have a corrupt system like here in Hawaii, if we don't address that, to hell with freedom, democracy, it's never going to happen because the system says, Alert, 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 system alert, system alert. There's an intruder because the system is saying this person, Carol Cox, is going to sue Rod Tam, who works as a city manager for the trash company. So they build around you and boom. Same thing in Attorney General. So it might be structured that way, but when they talk about revisiting the Constitution and all, I believe that if we're going to get rid of crime in government here in Hawaii, unless we address those two aspects, those two elements, there's nothing like having a lawyer if you're Al Capone, an army of lawyers, because they may not be interested in protecting you. They're interested in protecting the people from you. You follow. So I'm here to give you bad news, folks. Corruption is alive and well in Hawaii. Racism is alive and well and within government now. The people, they don't give a rat's butt about what you look like. I mean, you know, you can go out on the street and you go, gee, what are you, you know, you spend half a day trying to figure out a person's ethnicity, right?
Right.
Not that it matters, but if you were had cause to do that. But our corruption comes from the breeding grounds and the protection that's afforded in the way things are structured here. Our legislators need to look at that. See, if you came back in, look at that. And I don't know if we can ever be free of corruption in Hawaii.
Yeah.
I don't believe we can.
Yeah, you know, Carol, there's got to be like a change of attitude, and elected officials have to be really scrutinized, you know, background-wise, who their friends were, and all this, that, and the other, because, like you're saying, it's just like old boy network is going on for how long already, and how are we going to stop it?
Well, yeah, but
I hope you, if you get in office, please raise that flag, okay?
And right?
Yeah. You know, one of my greatest teachers, and he got chastised, was former Senator Richard Wong. He got chastised from a former governor who wanted revenge on him because Ben Caetano lost his position as a senator for Ways and Means. He was arrogant towards other senators, so they voted him out of office. So Ben Caetano wanted to get revenge on Dickey Wong. And it so happened Dickey Wong became Bishop Eighth Trustee, so he used them in bogus type of allegations. Now, here's what problem with our court system. Anybody can accuse anybody of anything, a bogus allegation.
Yeah, right.
And you'd be put on the defensive, and it costs money, basically. But then again, you have appointed judges who are biased, basically, because of the political side. Yeah, you're right, we have to change that. The only way to change it is the people to speak up and be the watchdog over government.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We can have all the type of laws, but it's really the watchdog over people over the government.
Yeah, I believe that if an individual manager or within government is charged for, let's say, racial discrimination, that's your issue, Mr. Manager. If we find that it threatens the city and the taxpayers' interests, then we might have some cause. But you go ahead and fight your case independently. And so, therefore, you're on your own. Now, I know many people would say, well, we wouldn't have many managers. Well, we don't need many managers if the system is corrupt.
We're top heavy in government, to be honest with you. You have too many managers that they sit behind the desk.
Yeah.
They don't go out into the field. You know, ironically, I got chastised for being out in the community rather than behind the desk.
Yeah.
But they said, when do you do your paperwork? I said, well, I do it late at night, go back to the office, and everybody's sleeping, right?
Yeah.
Basically, or else I take it home. And then I'll do it late at night or early in the morning. And they say, you get to do it, right? But then I got chastised because Rod, you're not supposed to be out there in the community finding out what's happening there. And then also speaking up.
Voted for you, and then they give you the ideas to carry on what you should be doing for your district and stuff like that. So whatever they tell you, that's all BS.
Right, right. Well, you know, my way of learning about the needs of the people was being out there in the community, talking, starting with them. be at in terms of the park in the community or having some coffee at one of the local mommy pop type of restaurants.
You know, mm-hmm. That's where you
learn
the most.
Yeah, and then, you know, taking out of the funds for the city, which was an allowance there, to mm-hmm. have that. Mm-hmm. Either they come into my office or I go out into the community. My choice was to go out into the community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, anyway, you're listening to the Carol Cox Show. You can pick this up at carolcox.com, but don't forget to go to KWAI1080AM.com and tune in there, and you can listen over the Internet if you're having a bad air day or hair day. Just tune in there and give us a call if you'd like to, or contact KWAI. Go to the website, and there's always room here. Microphones open, and if you want to have a show, you should call the station and maybe make some arrangements with the owner, Barry. And it's a good thing, folks. You get to talk, and especially if you're worried about the newspapers or other media that won't tell the story, you tell it yourself.
Thank you for the conversation, gentlemen.
All righty.
Well, thank you very much.
We'll talk to you guys later.
Okay,
thank you.
Take care now.
Bye.
But you understand my point on this with having the city, what do you call those, corporation council to protect. And so, in other words, let's say a person with a disability and they're discriminated against in the workplace. And the boss is obviously behaving in a way that it's not legal and he's wrong or she's wrong. And so what you do is you file an action, right? Mm-hmm. And that person that's being accused of discrimination is immediately afforded protection. Mm-hmm. So the party that was just had a job could be a small salary. They either left the office and now don't have the salary. Now you're fighting against this giant. So immediately the process does not afford us protection under the Civil Rights Act. Just by design, because you're fighting Goliath and his brothers, his big brothers, right?
Right.
And the guy could be evil as all get up. So unless, again, I've said this before, but unless we address that, you have to, and attorneys not out there doing cases for free, because, you know, I mean, it costs money to hire forensics or hire whatever you would need to refute or to support your argument or your case, your claims, right?
Right, right.
So where do you get the money from? But the city or the state or the feds, oh, man, this is a blank check. You know, hey, we got to beat this down. We got to beat this down, right? So somewhere in the ethical part of appointing people and people in corporation council is a snake. I mean, I can tell you, I've shown on this show where they've lied. We have the emails lied. One of the key people, key lawyers there, a liar, just flat out lied, you know, regarding the Y. Kelly issue over there in Y. Kelly Caves and the rental. Completely lied. And yet, he is insulated.
Right.
You see, unless I wanted to go and sue him, but the government does not work for the people in that situation.
You know, the establishment of the Attorney General's Office and the Corporation Council of the counties, yeah, mm-hmm. was supposed to be for the people,
mm-hmm.
right? To make sure that things legally are done right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's turned around, like you said.
Oh, yeah.
It's a self-protection. In fact, they are protecting Charles Taro right now because he has violated the Constitution of the United States and due process, mm-hmm. and they want to protect him. So they're at fault also.
Thank you, caller. Go ahead with your comments or questions.
Thank you for taking my call. We're dealing with sociopaths. And that's a term that took a while to get used to understand, but I'm absolutely sure that's what we're dealing with. The Charter Commission is very significant, especially into what you're speaking of now, and the way in which they are going to pass laws about the corporate council, who represents the mayor, who represents the city. council. It's in terms of the administration, the mayor, so any legal litigation is going to be in half of Caldwell. And having been involved with the rail, all I can, just one word, it took a while to come to, but they are sociopaths. They are unethical, immoral, incorrigible, and thank you very much.
All righty. Well, we'll be back in the next hour, and my guest is Rod Tam here, former city councilman, former senator, former state house rep.
Right.
And probably we add to that future candidate for state senate.
That's what many people have been asking me. Yes.
I've met Mr. Tam twice. He helped us with the latest Stop the Rail. Very, very, very helpful. So I thank Mr. Tam for what he did
thank
for
you.
Us.
All righty.
I want to help people in terms of the structure and process of government and so that they can get involved, because it's your government. Not in terms of those bureaucrats out there.
Yeah, well, we'll be back in a bit, but, just to give it, to drive this point home further, how big and vicious this corporation council is. Let's say you have a dispute with your city streets or in Mililani or something. They get the luxury of having support from corporation council, an army of lawyers. You get screwed. Because that's what the law says, and that's what it is, and you find yourself paying rather than trying to fight them because you just can't arm yourself.
And ironically, they get paid their salaries by taxpayers' money. Yes, there's a lot of corruption in government, and it has to be straightened out. What we need is a state of Hawaii constitutional convention, and we need a convention for the city, too, on the city charter.
Yeah.
An open one.
We need a convention because everything was built on the plantation foundation and a territorial foundation, and it's like looking at a house that was built by everybody that bought it, built a new room on it. And which way is this going? So
that's what's before us right now. After 10 years, it starts. We are in the 10th year, and the city council is such that if the mayor sues the city council, or if the city council sues the mayor, the city council is going to represent the mayor, not the city council.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
All righty. We'll be back in the next hour. This is the Carol Cox Show. Thank you.
So he's leaving the life he's come to know. Ooh.
He said he's going.
He said he's going back to find.
Going back to find.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. What's left of his world? The world he left behind. Not so long. Train to Georgia. Yeah. Said he's going back.
Going back
to a simpler place and time. Oh, yes, he is. Now be with him.
I know you will.
Oh, let midnight train to Georgia. I'd rather live in his world than live without him in mind.
World is here, here's an earth alone.
He kept dreaming,
dreaming.
Ooh, that someday he'd be a star.
A superstar, but he didn't get far.
But he so found out the hard way that dreams don't always come true.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108. Carol Cox Show, right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Aloha, and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Another beautiful day here. And again, happy Valentine's Day. You are my starship. Come take me up tonight. I know you older guys like myself and Rod. How old are we, Rod? We're actually 124 years old.
Yeah, well, I'm 62 years old.
So am I.
Yeah, oh, same age. Hey, great.
And have we learned anything?
Ah, yeah, you had up and downs in life. It's a cause and effect, right?
Yeah.
Cause and effect.
Yeah, I don't know what effect, but I'm here because... But, yeah, you were, when's your birthday?
October the 3rd.
Oh, you're a pumpkin boy. Summer. I'm in April.
April?
Oh, yeah.
Pretty soon, coming up.
A ram, always butting my head against something. But, guys, we're going to be talking a little bit about economics here, and Rod and I were just chatting. What percentage of senior citizens here in Hawaii, what's the population of the percentage of the overall population?
We have less than a million people on Oahu alone,
mm-hmm.
and over 60% are senior citizens. and a lot of them are retired, or they want to retire, some of them, in their 60s, but they can't retire because the cost of living is so high. In fact, some of them have resorted to go back to work. And you may have seen them at department stores, right? And I have a friend who's working at Walmart on the Keimoku. He's cleaning toilets. He's a senior citizen because he can't afford the cost of living. It's so high.
And can we attribute a portion or part of that to the situation where it looked as though everything that you do here costs you money now? Everything. If you even want to participate in government for, let's just say, to go listen to a bill or pursue a bill, it's going to cost you $4 just in parking alone.
Yes. There's a greediness out there, whether it be in government or non-government.
And then what's indicative of that we're detached from our government, when I go to the state buildings now and the city buildings, I see more parking, unmetered parking for employees, and then I see a handful of parking stalls for the public. And you're scrambling and you're sitting waiting, and but they all have meters and they're all, what, 10 minutes to the quarter?
Yes.
And so just that is indicative of where we are and how we as taxpayers or as citizens are viewed. We're a source of money to fuel and fund what?
You know, it brings up an experience I had whereby as a councilman, I went out into the community because there was insufficient parking at City Hall, where I have an office, and I didn't want to have people pay the parking fee, and they couldn't find parking. And so I went out to the community at parks and went to the different small restaurants and hole in the wall, so to speak, and to talk started with them about their problems that they had called me about. And I got chastised for that. And it was Chuck Tato that did that to me at this commission in the city. And he said, how come you don't have them come to your office? You can give them a cup of coffee or something, water or whatever. And I say, well, I spend the money in the office for that, but I can also spend the money out there in the community for the same thing, but I have a better relationship. They feel more comfortable. And I can't reimburse them for parking fees, right? Basically, you have a parking place card, Chuck Tato, where you can get free parking because you're a city employee.
Well, you know, because you, if it was someone else, I wouldn't say this, but it's Chuck Tato, meaning that if you're found, you, Rod Tam, found to be giving a cup of coffee to a citizen, you would probably be brought in on charges of bribing the citizen. You know, this is, but now anybody else.
Right.
If he wants to get you, you know, oh, he can twist and shout. But if he wants to get you, you're going to twist and shout.
Right. And I've had opposition from me, against me, since 1982. I was told that Chuck Tato was part of it when I got to the city council. And again, his wife is Associate Chief Justice Nakamura, who's related to Danny Noy, who was not my best friend, quite frankly. You know, I was not one of his old boys. And,
Well, but the senior citizen, we, and that's us now, we're left hanging out on the limb. And each time I see the mayor so casually, well, I'm going to seek no taxes for this, but then just, hold on, Mayor, could you answer this? What about those fees, the increase in fees? What about this?
That's a tax, too.
Yeah, what about, you understand. And so that brings me to this question. From your opinion, what is the state of the economy here?
It's in sad shape, very sad. The cost of living, the groceries, for example, a gallon of milk is, if you have some sale, if you're lucky, it's $5. As compared to what a person gets income-wise, is a fraction of that. So how are people surviving? Very, very difficult. A lot of them live on welfare, young families, a lot of them food stamps, a lot of them homeless. Just because a person is homeless, and he and his family, doesn't mean that they're bad.
Mm-hmm.
It says that the economy is bad for mm-hmm. them. They can't afford to rent. You know, according to federal standards, one studio,
mm-hmm.
Moderate income, is $1,100 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And does not include utilities. Now, if you want a one-bedroom, it's $1,500 a month or more.
And they say that it's attributed to the high cost for renting, for example, is attributed to demand on property.
No, they're not.
But I don't believe that. I believe that the demand from the government taxing you and requiring you certain taxes and certain fees, right?
Right.
And sewage and water and, you know, all of those things, that drives up the price, so the person owning a building or owning a condo that wants to rent
right.
it out will have to charge a higher rate because he got to pay the man.
Right.
And at the end of the day, the citizen that owns the property shouldn't be expected to carry the weight of society.
That's true. And also, the government subsidy is not enough.
Right.
And then because they base their government subsidy, the federal government and state government, on the basis of the moderate income. Now, moderate mm-hmm. income is based on the low end of minimum wage
mm-hmm.
to that of those who are making six figures. So what is moderate income, including those who are making like University of Hawaii administrators, $300,000 a year? Including them?
I just look at and marvel at what the basketball players, the coaches for the sports team make. I'm like, wait, you know, is it that good? You know, the professor teaching people should be paid that kind of money, but to teach them how to take the ball to the hoop, I think that's a bit excessive in our values. But anyway.
Yeah. And those people, the high-up people, echelon, the administrators, do not do the work. The ones who do the work on the employees.
Yeah, the secretaries that are there all the time. The secretary has been there for 10, 15 years, knows the ropes, knows all of it. And this guy wears penny loafers and get on the plane and travel abroad and go do his thing. But I'm fearful, even as an individual who lives here, seeing the costs. It's unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
And I often ask, how does one plan? Let's say you know how to save and you know how to plan your finances. But there's a factor here that's so unpredictable and that it can present itself any time of the day or the year, and that's called increase in taxes.
Right.
How, and that taking a 2%, 3% out of your salary or over the counter, you're already stressed and you're saving, putting, you know, rat-holing a little bit. But then it may not seem to be a lot, but at the counter, at the gas pump, at the, you know, at the food bar, your taxes and what have you, you're spending money.
Oh.
And that, the mayor and the city council won't see that.
Well, because they have salaries. They have good salaries, basically. They haven't experienced those who are living out there in the community, the constituents, the people who live on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
They have no understanding of them. That's what's sad. Because they stay behind their desks. You know, the greatest advocate for the people was Frank Fossey, Mayor Frank Fossey.
Mm-hmm.
He was the people's mayor. You know, over the time, Frank Fossey had the nickname People's Mayor. Mufi Hanneman had the nickname of Singing Mayor. Peter Carlisle had the nickname as a Joker, because he couldn't respond.
But now he's going to be the smoker.
He was a prosecutor, and now he wants to quit crime. He'll do crime. So it's money to talk.
I smoked and choked a little.
And it also, he's an alcoholic.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. He's an alcoholic. He used to run away during when he was mayor, during the daytime, working day, to go surfing. Peter Carlisle, Kirk Caldwell, is known as the public relations man.
Yeah.
Everything's public relations.
Yeah.
Right?
No matter how lying, much lying he
did. Right, election year this year, right?
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
But, I watched the situation with Nestor Garcia I watched the and you know me. I'm not going to say this to defend you. I'm looking for equity in the application of the law. And I scratch my head and go, well, gee, Rod Tam was said that he went to Zippy's and spent some money there. I don't know what the amount was. But Nestor Garcia was all over the map with his costs and the failure to disclose and conflicts. Did he refer that to the prosecutor?
No, he didn't.
Isn't that funny? See, that's the danger when an individual that's corrupt and thinking he has power use it to impact people. In your case, Romy Cocciola, clearly thousands of dollars in city council and defrauding the people, a clear fraudulent practice. He's still in the House. Did he go to jail? Was it referred to? Where was the do-gooders and the enforcers at that time?
Well, you know, basically, people may quote, it's the politics. Mm-hmm. You're either with the old boys or you're not with the old boys.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, and I'm proud to say, if I may, I've always been independent. Mm-hmm. A person that's for the people. My focus. And I would vote according to my constituents.
Mm-hmm.
And I would stand up on the floor and speak my piece in terms of that. And people would criticize me for that, my colleagues,
mm-hmm.
because I didn't go along with the majority at times. I say, yeah, I was elected by my constituents, not by you, but
mm-hmm.
my constituents.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they need certain things, the elements in the community, I'm going to push for it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's my job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I look and I say the taxpayer really don't know how bad it is, but they do know how bad it is when they open the mailbox.
Yes.
And then when they make their tax file of taxes and then they realize what they've spent, you know. Mm-hmm. And I have a friend who has a couple properties, and he said, in the old days, it may have mattered. I'm seeing some profit and I'm comfortable. He says, but any given time, the cost goes up on taxes, the increases, the sewer fees, and then what are you going to do? Keep chasing the tenants for more money? Something's going to collapse. And he says, the tenant can only run to so many sources and bring you back money. And the demand, the what was it he described it as being? The ratio of the city demanding and the state demanding and taxes and fees exceeds that available income or a source of income from the tenants. So who's going to get squeezed? You're going to see them out in the streets, and there'll be, he predicted that in the next 2-3 years, you'll actually see vacant properties.
Yes, and then become slum landlords.
Right.
Now, here's the ironic part. The state goes after, through the Department of Consumer Protection, after those who are deficient landlords.
Uh-huh.
You know, so that you don't become slum landlords. Deterrent in terms of repairs and so forth. But the state is the worst landlord from being a slum. You know, like, for example, mayor rights. They didn't have hot water for years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And their facilities don't measure up to the building code, for example. And when I was a senator, I wanted to build up to the building code in terms of landlord-tenant code.
Mm-hmm.
And the state fought me against it, quite frankly. Because they didn't want to bring up to standards, to livable standards.
I've often wondered about this, and tell me if it's just a silly thought. Mm. That the hot water would require electricity to actually heat the water.
Right.
And that would be an expense.
Mm-hmm.
Was the state actually and the city actually engaged in a process of make people suffer and just give them cold water, and that way they didn't have to pay the heating factor, the cost of heating? When you look at the volume and the period of time annually, they may have seen savings.
Oh, he sure did.
Could that have been a motive motivation to let it go without hot water?
Yeah, the state didn't want to spend the money, basically, on their repair. And then also there was the cost savings of not being charged electricity to heat the water.
And these homes now, there's affordable housing and Mayor Wright. Have we installed solar panels on those facilities?
They had heating, hot water elements on the roof, mm-hmm. but not solar panels.
Mm-hmm.
And it was contracted out, but the state didn't do its due justice by going after the contractor at all for years.
The contractor was paid.
Was paid already, but it was not efficiently working.
Is that right?
Yeah. And this is why, as we were talking before about the Attorney General's office and the Corporation Council, they don't work for the people.
Mm-hmm.
They work to protect those in power.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And getting contracts out to people.
And the whole basis of government is to work for the people. Mm-hmm. It's the people's government.
Right.
But then you have these bureaucrats in office that say, my government, I dictate to that. You know, mm-hmm. we criticize China, communism, and so forth. We're just as bad in some sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for calling, caller. Go ahead with your comments or question.
Thank you once again for taking my call. Mr. Garcia, conflict of interest, 42 times, fined $6,500, may be settled out of court because he was back on the council in about 2 weeks. He voted with the Chamber of Commerce, the Couple A, Filipino Heart, General Obligation Bond, and many other issues before the City Council, all on behalf of Heart. Right now, Elefante is on the City Council, and he, almost every time he has to testify or vote, he has to declare conflict of interest. Not one, not two, four or five. And he's doing it legally. It is not a secret. He simply says, I am going to declare a conflict of interest for the following reasons.
What reasons does he give specifics? Do you know why he's...
Mr. Cox, he doesn't have to.
No. I understand, but he is making a declaration.
Yes,
that
he is.
I'm declaring a conflict of interest. Does he go in further detail as to why?
No.
Okay.
I've been there many times live. And what he says is on abundance of clarity or whatever.
Caution.
I declare 31, 32, 33, 34 like that. And it's just a joke.
Yeah, well, Richard, while I got you on there, can I borrow $50?
Yeah, I wanted to tell you about good management. I live in a Janet Weinberg senior residence in a gated community. I am in paradise. This facility, it's the Garden of Eden. It's a gardener. It's a senior manager, Derry Bixby. I wouldn't live on the top of the Four Seasons with an organ in a... It's magnificent, and I want to thank the Janet Harry Weinberg Trust. And if we ran the city like they run my facilities, we wouldn't have any problems.
We'd have some happy souls, huh?
Oh, I'm happy as hell. I couldn't be more pleased. Thank you very much for your program.
Hey,
thank you.
And Richard,
thank you, Mr. Yes.
Happy Valentine's Day. You know the Carol Cox Show love you, man.
Yeah. So. Well, I love you because I tell you what, you're not good. You're unique. Unique for us. And thank you, Mr. Tam. I know you not that well, but you helped us with your packets for the city council. We certainly appreciate it. Thank you.
It's been my pleasure. I want to have people involved in government and take back their government.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, how do we do that?
Well, basically be a watchdog. Mm-hmm. And then one of the foremost things, fundamentally, is to vote.
Mm-hmm.
You don't vote, basically then the bad ones still get back in. Mm-hmm. You may criticize them, but your opportunity to get rid of them is gone.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to vote, you know, fundamentally. And then watch over government. Call the government officials up saying you're doing good or you're doing bad. Tell them.
Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments or question.
Yeah, I just wanted, since you brought up the shrimp business today and we talked about it for a couple of weeks, they're finally starting to take action. It's now going into the prosecutor's office, the diving incident.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that hasn't been released from DLNR, I guess they're not going to give you any information, But whether or not a alcohol or drug test was conducted on the driver of the boat, you know, I hope all this information is going to come out once it gets. Of course, I don't have too much confidence in Conoshiro, but the prosecutor's office, but at least it's moving forward, and we cannot let this go. Dylan R. Something needs to be done about that organization, besides the rest of city government and city county and the rest of state government.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you heard anything any more about it since you've been following it fairly close.
Well, what I do know, it's being considered by the city prosecutor's office, and I will check tomorrow to see. Tomorrow is the 16th, right? What is tomorrow's date?
The 15th.
The 15th.
Yeah.
So Tuesday, it's scheduled for to be heard in the court for the citation of the operating without a safety certificate.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And to be honest with you, I had threatened to go to the ECRIM website, and it would reflect there if they've actually pulled it. I haven't had a chance to talk to any sources. But
I know there's people are connecting the Hare Krishnas with Tulsi Gabbard, but mm-hmm. I'm not sure if Tulsi Gabbard is actually part of that organization. Tulsi Gabbard is a Hindu, and
I think
Krishnas are an off branch.
Well, I think this is, and thank you for saying that, because that's exactly, there's, you know, on one hand, we worried about what the DLNR is not doing, or if there's an investigation. On the other hand, we're exonerating people, and we don't know where to start or begin. So I would say with great caution to say that these people are affiliated with her, and she is well-known with them, and so it pays... It, just the same to just let it be and let it present itself as the facts come out, because I think...
If a Catholic commits a crime just because he's a Catholic, that's an associate.
Well, but again, I think that takes the topic way off line unless you're saying you believe, and I'm saying to you that the websites and what have you, and she's talking about the same leader and how she's praising him and others, and the guy, if you go to the websites for political campaigns, you'll find that this individual and his wife reflect that they gave $12,500 to Tulsi Gabbard's campaign. So I don't know. I don't know. I like to deal in facts and let Tulsi Gabbard, and I understand she actually has called one of the family members and offered condolences. But it doesn't, you know, it's not going to help the wheel go round at all. Let it flesh out, and if they don't do a breath. I also heard, for example, this is the kind of craziness that is bantered about out here. Well, the person that was driving the boat got on a plane and went to New Zealand.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Okay, so ask yourself this. Who would know that this person got on a plane and went to New Zealand that is on the public side? Who would know that? And how would they know that, number one?
Well, he's a well-known in that community.
Yeah, but he might be known, his blood type be known, but how do they know every little step that he... And then why then did the person... Is it Cy Hansen that got on the plane and left? Because if that is true, then that would be factual. But if it's Cy Hansen didn't get on the plane because the police records and the reports show that Cy Hansen was the driver and owner of the vessel. So,
yeah.
Basically, the
investigation is being hidden, covered up. So even if Cy Hansen, he's free to go anywhere in the world because he hasn't been charged for anything.
Well, no problem. We're not debating that. This is you're asking, you know, on one hand, you're saying we want something done, and that's something being done, and then you offer things that serve no purpose other than convolute matters. And I would say if you had a fact throw that bone out there and it will advance the ball down the field. But if it's just whatever conjecture or you just to chat.
You know, what I'm saying is that finally news and information, it was swept on the table in the beginning, but it has been coming up in the fact that even that the prosecutor is being consulted. I don't know how far has it gone. It's up to him whether he wants to pursue it based on the facts and investigation. But, you know, every time you have an automobile accident, the first thing you hear, the driver is smell alcohol in his breath.
Or mm-hmm.
He did not submit to a field sobriety or a breathalyzer. He's arrested. I'm not sure if any of this type of investigation was done by the DLR.
Well, let me just say to you, share this with you. What I've heard in pounding the pavement out there and walking in the sand is they didn't do a breathalyzer because Hare Krishnas don't drink. So
they don't do drugs.
Well, I don't know. I'm just sharing with you that bit. I don't know what they do. I mean, for me, some of this religious.
I don't know about Hare Krishnas. They just chant.
Well, I don't know. I don't know anything about them. And
I've been Googling, trying to track them down.
All I know is that I grew up around Baptist ministers, and they would sing a little song and say a little prayer, and then they'd take a break and go get some fresh air. And you know what that fresh air was? A swig of jig. You understand? So sing a little song and say a little prayer, right? Yeah, that's what he would tell the congregation. I want y'all to sing a little song and say a little prayer.
The impression before that Krishnas did drugs, but they don't drink alcohol or do drugs.
But that's inserting things, and it's sidebar to nothing. But what I can tell you, here's where this is what I can leave you with on this. Like you, I was concerned because a person died and another was injured. And then we go back out there, and the same situation exists still today, where the mixture, deadly mixture of sail kites, kayaks, swimmers, divers, snorkelers, jet skis, all in a little bowl, so to speak. So you didn't do anything to correct that as a state agency. But what I can say is that what attracted me to this, I was informed when the incident happened, immediately that this incident, I didn't go there that day, and then it played out in the news, and I often heard the news coverage, but I found something strange about the coverage was that no one named the individual driver. So I took it upon myself, and there were other things, and things were dissipating and dying down. I went over there at bright, dark 30 in the morning, making it my own issue, and starting to contact people and interviewing people, and that's how the resurgence and the reinterest got into the news.
Well,
so,
my question is, why were you concerned with this incident that you personally went out there and started interviewing people? What is your authority? Do you go out and investigate an automobile accident?
Hell, man, I'll ask a mad dog a question. Why the hell are you biting me, man? I don't. You see, that's the joy of being in America. We don't even owe an explanation why we're asking questions. You see, that's the joy. And beside, who gives a rat's butt about why I'm asking? The fact is, look what we got. It was stalled. It was doing nothing. And then all of a sudden, boom.
Well, I'm happy that the reason you're involved, because you're constantly attacking DLNR, and this is adding more fuel on the fire to your claims that DLNR is definitely incompetent. That's what I'm happy about, that you're bringing mm-hmm. more information out about the mm-hmm. How useless DLNR is.
But you understand that the stated purpose is so important, because there is a reality that we have people recreating, people fishing, people impacting the resources, polluting, and we have in place an entity that is responsible for wisely managing that. When they fail, so just sharing with you, that's my motivation. That's why I go and stick my nose in things. When all things go into crap, I figure I better go over there and see if I can help things revive them or resuscitate them. That's all it is. It's
Well, this guy is known to be this type of arrogant person in his operation of his boat for years, and the locals know him, and they complain about him. I don't know if they actually went to complain to DLNR, you know, come out and survey and arrest him if he's... And I don't know whether his boat is... It's registered, but I don't know if he's paid his annual dues. There's so many things connected with the situation we, the citizens, are upset because when we don't get information, we suspect.
Right.
It's just like Rod Tam, you know, he would suspect, you know, he's a suspicious person because of his indictment for corruption and government. Mm-hmm.
You ever done anything illegal?
Say again?
Have you ever done anything illegal? Okay, God. I see.
I'm not going to say anything, but basically, I generally was brought up in a family to obey the law.
Right. Well, then.
I do not have any. I've had a speeding ticket after driving 80 something years.
Yeah.
And I've never even had a parking ticket because I know it's against the law to park.
You sold real estate, right? And you were a real estate agent. Did you ever take that fee and then go and invest it in something else and then hurry to the post office to get it backdated so you can give back the person money or report it? In the old days, you know how they used to do that, Ed. You know how
I don't know what you're referring to.
Well, you understand.
No.
If you were a real estate agent, I can assure you, you've done something outside of the rules.
Definitely not. In the real estate business, we have our rogues. And if you want to be in real estate, you better be up and up. You even get fined for getting a DUI, even though it has nothing to do with it.
But you got to get caught, see? You got to get caught. And have you ever found yourself in life asking a friend or someone in a special place to help you move something along?
No.
Never?
No.
Man, then the next time the Pope come, I'm going to have him to come meet you because he could take some lessons from you. But I'm kidding you, Ed.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
But
again, you're going to shoot the messenger on each Sunday morning, and the messenger is going to stop coming and talking to you. It's
No, I'm glad you were bringing up this. Shree's personal family friend.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm glad the judges finally came out and spoke, Walter Heen.
Well, you know what you could do to really, in all sincerity, is to contact the governor's office and tell him that you don't appreciate the fact that the chairperson of the DLNR, nor her people, her communication specialist, had any respect or concern that they should address the public in any form or fashion. And when they did, they submitted 3 press releases, as I laid out last Sunday or Sunday before last, and they withdrew each press release. So, you know, talking about absurdity and violation of people's trust and keeping them in the dark, you know.
Yeah,
so,
well, also, besides real estate, also being in the medical field for 30 years, I'm not going to talk to a governor who declares an emergency regarding a dengue fever when it's just about over.
I agree with you there, my friend. But you know, but anyway, it's the other guys that are out there that's impacting us. But anyway, thank you, and we're going to be following up on this and seeing why the state. You know, what should come of this whole situation is that, like I've been harping for the last 9 years, the state DLNR and other agencies need to have professional officers, need to be trained with the standardized training and with an aptitude to know the species, to know all of the laws, and be consistent in the enforcement of them. And when there's a boat accident, you don't stand on the dock with your finger up your butt because you limited. You don't even have a life jacket on you, or you have no boat to go out there to even look at the scene. For example, let me give you, and I'm going to leave this subject, but they say that there was no flag, right? There was a big debate about a flag. But they do admit that there was a buoy, a dive buoy, right? And that was on the boat. Now, why would a person go and put a buoy on the boat, a dive buoy, but don't put a flag? First of all, right? So was the flag knocked off in the accident and is on the bottom of the ocean? And so, therefore, if DLNR had gone out and did a research or to look to see things, that, right?
Well, in the photograph, I saw it on the news, Keach.
Right.
It seemed like there was a buoy there with a flag there on the beach.
Right. So where did the buoy go? How did it get on the boat? Did they not have it? Were they coming in and have wrapped up the buoy?
I understand they collected the little kayak and the boat. And
no,
the,
no, I understand that. I'm talking about the fishermen, the divers. Did they have the buoy on their boat because they had finished diving and were about ready to return home?
Well,
and the boat hit
investigation, but right. I would assume that they collected the kayak and the floaters and the flags and brought it ashore and laid on the sand. That's where it's
I think you're missing my point. I'm talking about DLNR should have gone rather than assuming everything. The investigation starts on shore. The investigation should have incorporated them traveling to the site and looking at those things and looking to see if, in fact, was there a flag. But anyway,
just one more comment. I said, I know DNR lacks. No, they don't have any fluorescence on the building. Let's not bring that up because I don't want the state to spend millions of dollars for them to develop a forensic laboratory when we have the police and the FBI that have. And another question, why isn't the Coast Guard involved?
We've answered that. All the state had to do, they don't have the equipment. You must sort through all this nonsense. They could have just simply asked the Coast Guard to investigate.
That's right.
Real simple. They didn't do that. So you understand.
It comes under Coast Guard. I'm a boater also. It comes under Coast Guard jurisdiction. So do they have enough life rafts in a boat? Do they have a two-way road? This is why the questions are being asked. The information is not being forwarded to the public who is interested. I'm sure a majority of the public's not even interested. They consider it accident. I basically consider it as negligent homicide.
Okay. Yep. All righty. Well, thank you, and we'll keep looking at it. And hopefully, if you get some facts about it, please don't hesitate to call up.
Yes, sir.
All right. You want to say hi to Rod Tam?
Hi, Rod.
How you doing? Rod. I appreciate you in terms of what you're saying. When you're giving focus in terms of Carol Cox and bringing up, he's an advocate for bringing up questions about government and getting things straightened out. And it takes guts, I got to admit. He has guts. And then he's also been attacked. I remember a time that he got beaten up in his car, quite frankly. And that's some of the consequences. But you know what? You either have it or you don't, basically. You want to fight or you don't want to fight. And sometimes it makes a person even stronger.
Can I answer that question?
Yeah.
This state is a very vindictive state.
Yeah.
Now, if you have family and you start rustling government, guess what? They said, your son wants to go law. I understand he's trying to get into law school.
Mm.
But all of a sudden you find out, they've got some information. We're not going to let them in law school.
Yeah, I understand that. I understand that because I got death contracts on me twice.
Right.
And I was told that it was issued by Danny Noy.
Right.
But then, what happened? I was lucky. I had friends who stayed by me and was my bodyguard. And in fact, the second time around when I got a death contract on me issued by Danny Noy, I was told, I was introduced to some people, and I found out they were the syndicate. And they said they're not going to do anything to me. I said, why? And this was regarding the Kukui Gardens when I was a coordinator to save it, the 860 units. And then, I found out later was trying to demolish it because there was money involved in building high-rises and commercial. But anyway, what happened is they said, because some of us came from Kukui Gardens, and you haven't done anything wrong to the community. But having that experience, it gave me more boldness, if I may, and stand up for what you write. And this is what Carol Cox is all about, too. And I appreciate your commenting also, too.
Well, you didn't get what I'm saying. What I'm saying is a person like Carol Cox, he comes from away. He's got no local ties. He don't have children. He doesn't have a business here. So he can turn people upside down in government, and there's no real personal or threats or repercussions.
Ed, if I had a...
Ed. We know whoever assaulted him is associated with whoever he was...
Hold on. To ease your mind, first of all, if I had a ark filled with children and I fathered them all, I'd still do what I'm doing. You understand? There's no condition on it. And there, if you really want to know why I do this, there's a thing called justice, and then there's a flag that flies over this jurisdiction and other places called the American flag. You know what it stands for? And I'm not a bleeding heart liberal or conservative, but at some point... what you're saying is that it's okay to, because you got kids and you got relatives that got state jobs, it's okay to be a coward and walk away. If that's the case, then don't complain about anything. Just name your town Cowardville and be happy. But don't project these kinds of things, because there are things called values. And these values and caring about other people. And that's the American value. I don't give a damn if you're in southern Mississippi or you talk about being silent and being quiet because your family worked for a state job or government job. Go live in Mississippi and see how vocal you can be, and it's the same thing.
That was going to be my question.
Right.
You're from Mississippi.
Far from.
Have you solved all the problems where you live in Mississippi, and now you're coming to Hawaii?
Now you're being facetious. You know damn well I haven't solved all the problems. Come on. Yeah. You know, the reality is that when one prescribe for others, it's okay. I'm not disagreeing with it. If you got family and you got a business and you don't want to lose your boat and your pretty dog or whatever, that's good. That's the American way. You want to be silent and fight the system some other way. But when others fight it, you stand to benefit. So at least give them an applaud and say, yeah, right on, man. Watch, duck, or something. Or here's a bulletproof vest or something. But don't discourage them, because we have enough of that going on. But as long as the stars and stripes flies over this land, I can tell you, I've seen justice be afforded to many people where they didn't have it. It's a long hunt, man.
We already know about Mississippi justice.
No, you're in Hawaii. You're on one of the biggest lies and one of the most hated practices there are. You got a plantation that's built on and discriminated against the native people and still do today. Mississippi is just an example for me. You live in one of the most horrendous states there are.
There's a difference between Mississippi plantations and Eva Plantation. The people working there were Filipinos or immigrants that were hired to work from the plantation. They were slaves.
You know, let me say this. You know what we're talking about? We're talking about people who are standing out for justice and taking a bold step. And in the past history, there have been people like Mandel, from Africa.
Mandela.
Mandela. And then Dr. Martin Luther King. And then Grande from India, okay? And there have been many, many others that have done it. And yes, people get scared. They don't want to back them up, but that's okay. But people have principles, and you have to recognize them and appreciate them. Otherwise, you and I out there and many others would not be around to enjoy what we have today.
One question, Mr. Please don't put yourself in the light of Gandhi and Martin Luther King.
I'm not saying that. You're misunderstanding. You're being very defensive.
Okay.
But thank you very much.
But, Ed, thank you. And we can continue
Happy
this.
Valentine's.
Yes, sir. We love you too, brother. All right. Take care. Okay.
You know, what I'd like to do is, I know you got to conclude, right?
Go ahead.
And I'd like to talk about our economy. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about all these problems that we have in our society. Well, basically what it is we focus the whole realm of economic, our economy being bad. And there are several items, the ills of our economy, which I don't want to bring forward. Because we talked about them individually, the whole society, and it's all connected under the whole umbrella of our economy. If the economy is bad, you're going to have these ills. Okay, the first one is the high cost of living. We talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
you know, high cost of goods and so forth. And we have to bring reality to it.
Right.
The Jones Act is a very bad legislation in the federal government. It doesn't allow foreign goods to come here. It has to go to California on the West Coast and then come here on Mattson. Now, Mattson was controlled, had a political interest with Danny Noy. He had stocks in Mattson, to be honest with you. Okay? That's why you had a monopoly here. Now we can change it around because he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have that power. Then you have an unemployment. Unemployment here is about 10% or more, not the 3%. Because in the 3% level of the state, they don't count in terms of those who are on welfare or cannot qualify for unemployment. All they count is basically those who are collecting unemployment compensation.
What are you doing in the next coming weeks? Let's have a...
Oh, fine. I'm open.
We'll open.
We'll come back again.
Right.
This is one of my favorite subjects I'd like to talk about.
But as it sounds, we're adverse to Ed. No, I appreciate Ed calling because that it covers a whole, you know, I don't want to serve the world all that I see, the way I see it.
Well, I'm glad that she showed up because we're talking about the principles of our government, which is the people's government.
Right. You know? But you know, nothing like working for a belief.
Right.
Let me tell you, I sat on the back of the bus and I walked. Mm-hmm. You being Chinese, you know the hardship Chinese people in America struggle with and still do.
Right.
And it's but we don't dwell on it, but if you screw with us, we're going to bite you like the viper. It's that simple.
The burning of Chinatown here in Hawaii was done because against the Chinese merchants, not because of the rats. the missionaries sold when the white people who owned stores were competing.
Right.
And they didn't want the Chinese involved.
Yeah, I don't want people to think that we're jaded. And I just love this place. I mean... That's just the way it is, it's broken, and I'm trying to fix the dang thing, right? So we'll be back next week, week after next, and let's talk.
Well, we're speaking out because we love Hawaii.
All righty. Yeah. Well, thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next week. Aloha.
Aloha.
Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.